Reception. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about fertility apps and how they work. How are women using these apps?
So it's really interesting when you say they're a new approach to contraception, because they are. They use an app, but they actually are based on age-old methods of predicting when a woman's fertile and when she's not. And then what they aim to do is to predict when she's ovulating. So what they do, in theory, they can actually be used to plan a pregnancy, but obviously the interest at the moment is preventing a pregnancy, so using them for contraception. And what they do is they rely on the woman putting in, on a daily basis, putting in the data about her menstrual cycle length, about her basal temperature, what we call the basal body temperature. And this has to be done every day. And then the app computes when a person is fertile and when they're not fertile. And then the app says, yes, you can have unprotected sex now and not on these days. So it's based on some assumptions. So, you know, we've got what we call traditional fertility awareness methods, where women have been doing this for many years, capturing it in a, you know, in a notebook or something like this. But this is using, as you say, the femtech approach.
It's really interesting because, as you said there, yeah, this has been used for centuries and centuries, as long as women have been trying to fall or not fall pregnant. I feel like we've been tracking our cycles, but it's interesting to see it move into this digital age. How effective do you think these apps are as a form of contraception?
So that's the big question, isn't it? So there's absolutely every day, I think there's a new app that comes up, and most apps, in fact, almost all apps are exactly what you said before. They're tracking apps. So they just track your data, track your menstrual cycle, track other things that you want to put into your app. So maybe like your temperature, you can put in changes in mucus. And that's really helpful because that actually empowers you, you know, gets women to understand what's happening with their menstrual cycles. But the contraceptive apps are a little bit different. They take it a step further. They're predicting, you know, when you can and can't have unprotected sex. There's a very little research in almost all of the apps. So there's only really a couple of apps where there has been some research done. One's called Natural Cycles. It was developed in Sweden. And they have done a big research study which suggests that maybe there's a failure rate of around about 7%. So that's 7 in 100 women becoming pregnant in a year who are using the app. But
that's,
I have
still
to say,
pretty good.
It's come under enormous amounts of criticism. So for me, as a scientist, you know, I look at the studies, and there's been a lot of debate, you know, amongst the scientific community about how accurate this research is. So I think we need a lot more research. And I think it's really important, as you said before, that a lot of young women are using or thinking about using apps, actually. So we don't have any good data. And young women, of course, are very fertile. And so the key thing, obviously, everyone can choose what method of contraception they want to use, but it must know the pros and cons about it. And understand what's involved and the intensity that's involved. So we know that in one of these big studies, around about 54%, so over half the women that were using the app, they actually stopped, they gave up after by 1 year of use, because it is quite arduous. But it's all about, you know, obviously women are talking about it, they're asking about it, they're trying it out, and you know, we have to listen to this, because obviously it suggests that women want alternatives to what's on offer.
Absolutely. There's something for everyone, and it's about finding what works for you. Now, with this kind of failure rate, I'm sure, as you said, there's not a lot of data, a lot of research, but do we think that it's human error that's causing the failure rate of, you know, 7% in one of those apps? I know that a lot of women kind of struggle with, you know, taking their pill on time or remembering certain pieces of contraception, and that you know, human error can be a huge contributor to the failing of these methods.
It's a really good question. So we think it's probably a combination. So the first thing is that there is some sort of inherent there are inherent challenges in terms of that prediction of the fertile window, we call it, the fertile time, because we know that menstrual cycles can vary enormously, and things like, you put your temperature in, but if you've had a late night, if you've had a bit of alcohol the night before, if you've got a flu or a bit of a rise in your temperature, you lay in bed a little bit longer than usual, those can all affect those readings. So that will affect the inherent sort of effectiveness of the app. But absolutely, human error is the key thing. So one thing that it was investigated actually by the Swedish authorities, because more women were falling pregnant than were expected through the app. And of course, a lot of those cases were actually women or couples who'd actually had sex on the no sex tape. Because obviously you've got to adapt your behaviour your sexual behaviour, and we all know that can be a bit of a challenge.
So some people just want to do what they're told not to.
I think that's right. But again, it's just, you know, I think it's really exciting that people are talking about contraception, thinking about it. And I think some of the women, you know, they may have had some negative experiences with other methods, but there may also be a bit of sort of misinformation, perhaps, or misperceptions about some other methods. So I think it's really important to talk to your doctor and find out about all the whole array of what's on offer, because we have got, you know, now we are using IUDs, for instance, for young women, whereas maybe 10 years ago we never thought about them for younger women. So I think there's lots of information to be gained out there.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's such this taboo around menstruation, and it's this really weird concept, because so many women, almost every woman in the world, menstruates. So it seems like these conversations should be had, but they're just not being had.
Absolutely, and you're right. So, in fact, recently, I think there's a menstrual emoji has come out, which is really good. And so I think people are having these conversations more and more. And I'm delighted, honestly, when, you know, everyone now who I see, I say, when was your last period? And, you know, some years ago, people would have said, oh, I don't know. But now, of course, you know, just whip out their app and they can tell, you know, tell in an instant when
absolutely.
It was. Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
Absolutely. You can track everything, flow rate, cramping, everything. It's
exactly.
all there.
Exactly.
Dr. Bateson, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.